Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, offering online bachelor completion programs, including business, education, nursing, and more. Information is available at viterbo.edu/completion.
Support for WPR comes from the Dram Corporation, manufacturers of commercial tools, equipment, and systems for greenhouse and nursery professionals for over 80 years. More information is at dramm.com.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. In 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court extended the rights of same-sex couples. President Barack Obama essentially doubled the number of openly gay federal judges and ambassadors.
Besides that, Jason Collins from NBA's Washington Wizards was one of the first professional athletes in major sports to come out, not to mention the fact that several states legalized same-sex marriage. Some are saying 2013 was a banner year for gay rights.
And our next guest agrees with that. Eric Marcus joins us now to talk about the big year for gay rights. He's a journalist and the author of Making Gay History, the Half-Century Fight for Lesbian and Gay Equal Rights. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Delighted to be with you, Veronica, and I'm so glad there's no snow where I am.
rub it in. Where are you?
I'm in New York City. It was 71 degrees yesterday.
What?
Yeah, 71 balmy degrees.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh. Well, all right. I can't dwell too long on that. I'll just get
Sorry.
Bitter.
Sorry.
So let's talk about gay rights this year, 2013. It's been a remarkable year. What happened this year?
It has been the most breathtaking year, and I think that just the events of the last few days suggest the range of what's happened. First, Utah, a judge threw out the ban on marriage between two people of the same sex in Utah. So now gay and lesbian couples are lining up to get married in Utah, of all places. And then halfway around the world in Uganda, the parliament voted to criminalize sexual acts between people of the same sex. So it feels very bipolar at the moment. But here in the U.S., it's all been positive. We started the year with the president's incredible speech at his inauguration and at the State of the Union address, all pro-gay. And the president spoke in ways that I could never have imagined any president would ever speak about gay people.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, because that is one of the things that made 2013 what it was to gay rights. President Obama was front and center. He likened the fight for gay rights to Selma, Alabama, and he used the word "we" to indicate that this was, you know, something that included him and the fight for all people involved in this. What did President Obama mean to gay rights this year?
Oh, God. That's a good question. This president has been so beyond extraordinary, especially in comparison to previous presidents, in terms of his complete embracing of gay rights as a national issue, as a national imperative, has made it very much his own. And he's not just talked about it, he's actually made changes. Defense of marriage, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. Defense of Marriage Act is gone. As you mentioned, there are lots of people, gay people, serving in his administration. But the fact that the President of the United States has spoken so publicly and openly and supportively of these issues has enormous symbolic value in terms of changing people's attitudes. People can say the President of the United States supports these issues. If I may, I just want to go back in history a little bit to the late 80s, when we considered it an extraordinary moment when, in response to a letter from a parent, Barbara Bush, then the First Lady, wrote a supportive note saying that parents should embrace their gay children. That wound up going out on the Associated Press. It was national news. It was a huge deal, and that was simply an expression of support by the First Lady, not the president. That's only the late 80s, and look where we are now.
Oh, that's 20 years. So I guess that makes me wonder, you get the sense that there is this momentum right now, that things are rolling forward quickly. Would you agree with that, that there has been some sort of turning point and now it's sort of a boulder rolling down a hill?
Yes. Yes, we've reached the turning point. I think of it, the visual that I think of is if you take a sink full of water and you float a bowl in the water, and you slowly push down on the bowl, and then suddenly the water pours in over the top, slowly, and then it fills the bowl, and the bowl sinks. We've reached that moment. What's happened is so many people now know gay people. because gay people have come out in huge numbers, that you can't demonize us in the way that you once could. So we've gone from a time when you could simply say that your anti-gay views were a matter of opinion to a point in history now where those anti-gay views are increasingly on the fringe, and people who express those views publicly are ostracized. And we've seen that happen. That's another example of what's gone on in recent times. It's not called Duck Soup, but Please Save Me From Myself. What is the name of that television show?
Duck Soup. I don't know.
It's the popular reality show about the family that produces
Duck Dynasty.
Thank you. And the patriarch of the family has now been banished from the show for X number of shows because he said some pretty crazy things about gay people. But the crazy things he said in the past were not considered so crazy. So that's one big way in which things have changed.
And we mentioned the momentum that has picked up, especially in this last year, and President Obama's role in it. Do you think that the president wanted to be a standard bearer, be out at the front of this, or did he just want to be on the boat when it left?
I thought that he actually went a little farther than I would have advised him. When there was discussion before the election last year about whether or not the president was going to publicly advocate support for same-sex marriage, if he had asked me, and he didn't call, if he had asked me, I would have said, that's too dangerous. Don't do it. It's not worth the risk. I'm gay. I've been writing about these issues for years. I'm a big supporter of gay rights, obviously. But I thought it was too risky for the president. I felt that public opinion hadn't moved quite far enough and that it would cost him in the election. But what do I know? It turns out it didn't cost him in the election. It made a difference certainly among young voters. It swayed African-American voters to support this issue in greater numbers. So I think that we can't expect the president or any politician to go that far out ahead of public opinion. But I thought he took a very bold step by announcing his public support before the election last year. And one has to give him a lot of credit for that.
Now, you have agreed that this is the greatest year for gay rights. On the other hand, there are still, I think it's 2/3 of Republicans who say that they are against same-sex marriage, for instance, and is facing shaky support in the House, even though it was passed by the Senate. This is this anti-discrimination law.
It's national anti-discrimination legislation.
Yeah. Right. So, I don't know, is it possible that the celebration right now is being overblown and there's still some pretty big hurdles out there to get over?
I think that we can celebrate and celebrate with enthusiasm and also acknowledge the fact that there's a long way to go and that for many, many gay Americans, it is still a tough life to live where they live. You know, where I live in New York City, it's just fine. But even in my neighborhood in New York, which is very gay-friendly, in fact, I never even think of the fact I'm gay. I'm just a regular person who lives in Chelsea. There are people who get beat up for being gay. And there are kids I hear from routinely in emails who are in terrible straits because they're so afraid of how their families will deal with them if they find out they're gay. I'm working with a young man now on his autobiography, Robbie Rogers. He's a soccer player, the first and only openly gay man to play in one of the top five U.S. professional sports. He came out before Jason Collins and plays for the L.A. Galaxy. He lived in the closet for his entire life until a year ago. He's now 26 years old. And the fact that there are lots of people who still live that way, including many gay men and gay women who are in heterosexual marriages, suggests that we have a lot of work to do. But I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a moment to say 2013 was incredible. We have so much to celebrate and be thankful for, and there are many people we need to thank, including our straight allies and the president, who is a straight ally. But we have a lot of work to do. We've always had a lot of work to do.
Now, it's been suggested that part of the reason this was such a big year for gay rights was that the issue had been reframed a little bit from, you know, finger-pointing and maybe shaming to maybe focus more on families and compassion and caring. Do you think that the framing of the debate has changed?
I think I know the framing of the debate has always been important. This is not a new issue. Way back in the early 1960s, there was an organization called the Mattachine Society, and in Washington D.C., there was a branch of the organization that was very forward thinking. It was led by a man named Frank Kameny, who died recently, one of the great heroes of the gay civil rights movement. Frank came up with the phrase "gay is good," patterned after "black is beautiful," to help gay people feel more of a sense of pride about themselves. And one of the activists he worked with at the time accused him of trying to market gay people like a tube of toothpaste. And he said, "Exactly. That is exactly what I'm doing." And it was important to have the right slogans that people at protests, and he led the first protest in front of the White House in 1965, that people had to dress properly so people could, so that their messages could be heard, that the way they looked didn't get in the way of their message. So framing the issue is very important, and some people have been very astute in framing the issue. For example, Roberta Kaplan, who took on the Edie Windsor Defense of Marriage Act case, understood very clearly from the beginning that if she focused on a single client, like Edie Windsor, who was very sympathetic, elderly, widowed, having to pay crazy amounts of money for taxes that she shouldn't have had to pay if she'd been married to her partner, that was a very appealing image, a compelling story, and people could sign on to that from across the spectrum. What Republican is going to argue that we should be paying death taxes, which was exactly the case with Edie Windsor? So framing the issue is very important. I wouldn't say there's been any particular concerted effort across the gay rights movement to reframe this, but it never hurts to point fingers. It always helps to bring people in.
We're talking right now to journalist and author Eric Marcus about what made 2013 such a great year for gay rights.
We want to hear from you on this. Do you think public opinion is changing about gay people in our culture? Did you personally change your mind on same-sex marriage or gay rights? Call in and share your story at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We're picking up our conversation right now about how 2013 was a big year for gay rights.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call in with your thoughts. Do you think public opinion is changing on gay rights? Have you noticed a change in your community? What do you think is behind this change? Did you personally change your mind on same-sex marriage or other gay rights issues over the past few years? We'd like to hear what you have to say. Call in and share your thoughts at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org.
And if you are gay yourself, do you sense that anything has changed? Has your feeling of acceptance changed? Do you think that this was a big year? Do you agree that this was the greatest year in gay rights? Let us know. And we pick up now with Eric Marcus. And we're talking about the big year. And Eric, you opened talking about Utah. And, you know, here we have a conservative state, headquarters of the Mormon Church, and hundreds of gay couples lining up to get married. What does that say to you about what to expect in terms of same-sex legalization of marriage going down the road?
I think what we'll see very shortly, if not in 2014, certainly soon after, that either it'll happen state by state, that marriage will be allowed between two people of the same sex, or it'll happen all at once, depending upon court rulings. One point I want to make is that this is still very much a personal issue, that the reason public opinion has shifted as much as it has is because so many individuals have chosen to share with their loved ones the truth about their lives. And I don't want to minimize how difficult that is for many, if not most, people, because of their fear of being rejected, which happens sometimes, less often than people might imagine, because parents generally love their children, even if their children aren't the people they thought they might be. So it's something that's something that needs to continue, and we've seen a wave of coming out stories in this past year of people who are well known, whether it was Brian Boitano, who just came out just the other day, or Jim Nabors, famous actor, all of us know from television, and I always think of him on the Carol Burnett show. All kinds of people, whether it's politicians, local politicians, or national politicians, or people we care about, have come out in this past year, and that's part of the tidal wave that we're seeing and will continue to see. As people grow more comfortable, they'll share their personal stories with people around them, and that will change the opinions of individuals. That's what changes minds. The president helps move things along. Court rulings help move things along, but it's still the one-on-one relationship that makes all the difference, just as it was with my grandmother, who came over on a boat from Poland in 1909, who became a big champion of gay rights in her 90s and spoke at my commitment ceremony to my partner 17 years ago in just the most loving and supportive way, because she got to know me as a gay person, and she got to know him and accept him as a grandson as well.
Hmm. Well, and you also have, you know, Tammy Baldwin from here in Wisconsin being sworn in as the first openly gay senator in the United States, and it didn't seem to create, you know, much of a wave at all. It was just what it was.
Yeah, and I'm struck by how in the New York Times, for example, which is the newspaper I read, stories about states permitting gay marriage or marriage equality show up on the inside of the newspaper now, not the front page. I remember when it was front page news when the chief medical examiner in New York City came out in the late 1970s. It was front page news, a local health official. And now Tammy Baldwin's election was great. It proved that you can be elected as an openly gay person to the Senate. But it was a big so what.
All right, I'm going to go to the phones now. We have Erica who's joining us from Lake Tomahawk. Hey, Erica.
Hello. I just want to, for one thing, I guess, Tammy Baldwin is my hero. But I'm an older transgendered person, and I don't fit certain molds. I pump septics for a living. I drive a truck. And the people I work for have asked me not to show up in a prom dress. But other than that, it's kind of a non-issue, and I just adore this. It's also not really much of a prom dress kind of a job.
Right.
Laws can be laws, but legislation can be that. But attitudes are the most, by far the most important.
And did you see those attitudes? Did you see those attitudes changing in 2013?
Hugely. And it's not just me putting on my big girl panties and coming out, but it has become so less of a thing with almost anybody. The people I work for are not young, and it's like I think they would rather not have to deal with it, but they are.
And
they're doing a pretty good job, I think.
All right. Erica, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. Eric, what do you think about that story? Is that typical to what you're seeing?
It's certainly what I'm hearing. The fact that so many people have come forward to speak honestly about their lives, including transgender people, there's a lot that isn't surprising anymore. There's still plenty of things that people struggle with. For one thing, I've talked with parents who have young children who have who they think may be transgendered when they grow older. That's an area where people still have a lot to learn, and I'm no expert on that issue. My issue is my area of expertise is concerned gay and lesbian people. But I find people in general are much more open. That isn't to say that there isn't still enormous discrimination, and we don't have a national law preventing people from being fired simply because they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered. So yes, I'm seeing more and more acceptance, but that goes both ways. It's because more and more people feel comfortable sharing the truth about their lives.
What do you think will happen in 2014 as you look forward? 2013, as we've been talking about, has been a big year for advancements in gay rights. Do you expect to see more of the same?
Well, we're not going to see this. We're not going to see DOMA overturned. It's already been overturned. I think we'll see smaller incremental changes. I don't think we'll see the Employment Non-Discrimination Act passed by the House. I don't think the House is going to do much of anything next year. They've just about won the award for the most do-nothing Congress in the history of the Congress for 2013, and I suspect that they'll get the same award for 2014. But the fact that the Senate passed the law suggests that when the House eventually starts doing something again, that will pass there as well. But it's also up to gay people of all stripes to continue doing the work that we do, which is to be open about our lives when we can, where we can, as long as we're in a place where we can do it in a safe way, meaning that by being out, we're not endangering our lives in any way.
We're a couple years out from a big election season. Do you think it's possible for a presidential candidate to get elected moving forward if they don't support gay rights?
No. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible for any mainstream statewide or countrywide, nationwide official to be elected if they are anti-gay. I think it's still possible for people who run in the House. I think it's tough for people who run in the Senate to express those views. That That ship has sailed. I remember all too well, as do probably most people listening, how support for or opposition to gay people and gay rights has been used in elections quite successfully, especially by conservatives in recent decades. But I think it's going to be very difficult going forward to use that issue in most places in the United States.
I wonder, thinking about, you know, the big picture of 2013, it seemed as though an awful lot happened in a single year. Do you think that's unusual in when you're talking about struggles for equality? You know, our country has seen several of them, including, you know, the civil rights era.
Sure.
And they don't seem to have happened
in
with such
way.
Speed in this yeah. manner. It seems like it unfolded in an unusual way. Do you think that's right?
In a very dramatic and fast way. One of my friends, Linda Hirschman, wrote a book called Victory, in which she looked at the gay rights movement in comparison to the Black Civil Rights Movement, the women's movement, and how things have moved with gay rights in a way that's different from those other civil rights efforts. And I might add that many of the ideas for how to move forward, move the gay civil rights movement forward, came out of those earlier movements. But this movement, she notes in her book, moved much faster than the other two, and explains in her book why. And I wouldn't even attempt to explain her thesis on this show, but it's different. It's different. The fact that gay people exist in virtually every family in the country makes it different. We're not the other, it turns out. We are your brothers, sisters, and fathers, and mothers, and neighbors, and colleagues. So everyone knows someone who's gay. So I think that the barrier, once it started to fell more quickly. The first gay rights group in the U.S. was founded in 1950. That's only 63 years ago. So we've gone from an organization that was founded by five guys in Los Angeles in an apartment with the blinds drawn to when gay people were routinely fired from their jobs and rejected by their families, to a period now where this is a mainstream civil rights issue supported by huge numbers of people, in particular young people.
Well, Eric, we'll leave it there. And thank you so much for joining us today, and enjoy your 70-degree weather out there.
It's 59.
No, 59.
The temperature's dropping. It'll be 19 degrees tomorrow.
All right, good. I feel better.
Good luck digging out.
All right, thanks a lot. That was Eric Marcus, journalist and the author of Making Gay History, The Half-Century Fight for Lesbian and Gay Equal Rights.